Welcome to the eSuccubus podcast for June 27th, 2016. This week's topic is tease and denial, the general concept of chastity, the idea of edging, and the continual ramping up of sexual urge as one denies their urge to masturbate again and again. Now, this is a theme a lot of people ask for, and I don't really do much of it these days, but I really should, and I've just been getting back into it with some of my subjects and listeners and some friends. I've always been fascinated by this concept, partly because I really, really enjoy slow training stories and comics and games where someone, either the protagonist or their romantic or sexual interest, is gradually habituated into a process of greater and greater libido. You know, they get more and more turned on, they find themselves rubbing against things, touching themselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a penis or a pussy and dripping clit involved, it's always going to make me happy to think of someone gradually amping up their own arousal and urges. But I'm going to say something about writing hypnotic denial and chastity, about the concepts of chastity and edging and arousal generally, and then I'll do a little trance. And before that, I will talk about upcoming pieces on the site and about chastity and denial themes. I'm also going to talk a little bit about plans for the site and about the current schedule. So I also have a few little questions people have successfully sent me. Now, I don't often get questions for the podcast, so this made me happy. I just want to remind people that you can always send me questions at mail@esuccubus.com. You can always send me questions, just put the word podcast in the subject line of the email. And if you do that, I will surely answer them as soon as I'm able to do so. I'm basically just going to put them in the next podcast after you send them to me. So, you know, don't hesitate. I'm very open to conversations as well. I want to thank everybody who does contact me with praise for my work, feedback, or little stories they've written to help me out and enjoying how others enjoy my work. Because when you don't have much feedback, you really do kind of feel isolated. And writing is an isolated thing anyway. A lot of people maybe don't get that this isn't a process of writing, first and foremost, so it gets lonely and it's nice to have inspiration, and I will read your ideas if people send them to me as well. So just, you know, keep that in mind. All right. I'm actually privileged to have 6 questions this week, so that's pretty great. So the first question. In terms of distribution, I'm not sure how much of a hassle this would be, but I would appreciate if you could set up an RSS feed so a normal podcast client can download the episodes as you release them. So I don't know much about that, and I don't know much about how regular podcast clients work, but I'm pretty sure I remember how to set up an RSS feed, so I will put that up on my site sometime this week. I can't actually put my podcast on iTunes, obviously, although I notice it does have some adult podcasts. I think hypnosis is a general roadblock to being put up on some podcast apps. Still, a simple RSS feed is something I can do. Another question. In some of your files, as part of an induction, you talk a little about how hypnosis works. I was wondering if you had any resources, like books or something, that you'd recommend that explore the actual mechanism behind hypnosis and trance-like states. Well, you can read the research, which is easy enough to find anywhere, but what we're doing here is actually providing someone with a suggestible state that comes not just from hypnosis, but from the whole substate thing, where chemicals in your brain are getting tripped by the fact that you fetishize something and you're super horny for it and it gets going in your brain. That and the pop culture understanding of hypnosis, you know, where people sit down and read a bunch of hypnosis anime and manga while they watch a bunch of anime, read a bunch of manga, play a bunch of games, and then they go sit on MC stories for hours. You build it into your own brain. So that kind of stuff is a whole other world. People are getting just tooled up in the erotics of it to the point where they're so conditioned, just like a submissive who, and I use this example a lot, has a bell on their collar and is only allowed to put their collar on before riveting, enjoyable, sexy play scenes. And then eventually the act of putting on the collar makes you turned on. So the best resources are really just playing with people who are into this stuff and learning from them. But as far as the general concept of trance, the idea of going deep and the things that are done in stage shows and the stuff that's done therapeutically, there's all sorts of different resources out there. There are various hypnotherapy licensing organizations. Google will help you there. And depending on your jurisdiction, there may be licensing laws before you can hang out a shingle. That's not what I do. I'm just providing erotic experiences. But the flip side of it is, you can find books. Everything by Milton Erickson is worth reading. I've always kind of liked that stuff. And reading inductions online, even if you just Google them and find what other people have written, can give you ideas for how to build the flow into your own head. But really, that's the resource. It's building the method of speaking so that people will pay attention to your words and you can build up a kind of hypnotic rhythm and meter. And eventually, when people hear you speak in a certain way, they know you intend to help them trance. I did look up the courses I took back when I was taking courses, and they've all since shut down. Or they've changed names to other names, which I guess happens a lot over a number of years. It has been 10 years since I first started doing this. So I would say go ahead and look up online or in your area hypnosis courses. Another great resource is hypnosis meetups. I mean, by and large, people who are into this fetish will tell you where they learned, and a lot of people do learn from other people. But if it's just about providing the right atmosphere and the right incentive to sink down a little, then read a lot of erotica. Read a lot of mind control erotica. Look at the actual words that are there and what they make you feel. Let yourself get hypnotized by someone who knows what they're doing, and enjoy it. That's really the best resource I've got going at this point. And then there was another question, a follow-up. In this vein, do you think it is better or worse for a listener to know that I intend to bring them into trance? Does being aware of the usual techniques used for hypnosis make it easier to be hypnotized? Now, my philosophy on this has always been, yeah. Not only does describing the techniques that you're using or trying to emulate help people stay focused on them, which is a kind of distraction and confusion induction in and of itself, but giving somebody a reason to listen and kind of think that you're informing them on purpose, and you are, helps them feel more comfortable. You're not doing something shady or hidden, or if you are, you've told them about it. Plus, when people know the various techniques of hypnosis, especially if they're into the whole swinging watch, finger snap kind of thing, they'll get used to the idea that when they start to hear a certain kind of deepener, they should be looking for certain things. If you're hearing a visualization deepener, you should be looking for the imagery that's most relaxing. If you're undergoing a tension and resistance deepener, you should be waiting for the moment the hypnotist says to tense your body, tense your musculature, and then the moment they say to relax. If it's a countdown deepener, it's simple to go from number to number, but there will also be words interwoven with the numbers if somebody's doing it right. 10, sink and drift and allow your body to fade. 9, listen and feel. Just feel your body, exist in it for a little while. See, that kind of thing helps somebody to go deeper because they anticipate the mode. But then there are inductions that rely on somebody knowing something about trance, specifically confusion, resistance, and fractionation inductions can be used alongside standard countdown, finger snap, metaphor, and visualization inductions. For example, in the middle of somebody walking down the stairs to an idyllic beach toward a place where they can sink and drift, or in the middle of a countdown, 7 and 6, you might speed it up, you might move from one to another. This is an example of confusion and fractionation. You might tell them, and now you're rising back up a little. Oh, look what's happening. 7 and 8, that's a resistance and confusion induction, but no, you want to go back down to where more and more pleasure creeps in. 6, 5, 2, 1, sleep. Someone who knows all the individual components of that, someone who understands finger snaps, countdowns, fractionation, visualization, confusion, metaphor inductions, resistance inductions, and the kind of long, long metaphor chains that I like to do, is still going to feel pretty relaxed. And it becomes a familiar game. It becomes a playful patter between hypnotist and subject. So yeah, I think it's absolutely okay for people to know a lot about trance. I'm working on a tutorial section of the site right now. It's going to be a number of little audio players where you can click play and listen through. Now, I should add a caveat. There is one type of trance where people get a lot of fun out of it if they don't quite know what's going on, and that is the so-called covert or conversational induction. Now, really, you're doing it with someone who likes to play with you and already likes to trance. But when you slip a trigger word to help someone sleep, or when you start to speak about calming things and lessons as you go, or when you just spend your time talking with someone about trance subjects and you notice that they're starting to drift a little, you notice their jaw is going slack, their eyes are rolling back, and maybe you lean in and you whisper, "You could sleep for me right now." And you encourage it. That kind of thing is its own induction. It doesn't really rely on not knowing about trance. It relies on being open to trancing at that time and then being surprised by somebody taking their time to help you sink and drift and drip down a little. So that's my thought on that question. Now, I've got more here. Okay, question, four. What are your favorite themes to explore when writing stories? Well, lately I've been doing Corruption of Champions stuff, and I really like seasonal themes. So my traditional hypnosis stuff is going to be, since it's summer here and it's a pretty hot one, about sweating and feeling heated and feeling heat throughout your body and then going somewhere cool and feeling your form retain the heat of the outside, a hot and wet and hot and hard to go with my shivering and wet and shivering and hard files. I love to explore chastity and denial, which I'm going to get back to when the questions are done. And I actually have really enjoyed the enchantment of an object. When someone has a sex toy or a familiar piece of paraphernalia like a collar, and we tie specific suggestions or ideas to it, and they end up masturbating with it or around it a lot, and they end up getting turned on, and then when they put that collar on and you see their eyes roll back at pleasure, or when they use their toy and they find themselves murmuring, "Yes, please, more, mistress," over and over. That kind of stuff really makes me happy, because it's a simple fixation, and if somebody has the object around them in the everyday, then they'll kind of look at their collar, or look where it's hidden, look at their sex toy, or look where it's hidden, and they'll feel that lovely little thrill as they go through their day. So that's the kind of thing I like. Okay, which files do you consider your best work in each category? Inductions, deepeners, and main body files. And which ones are your favorite ones? Well, that's a good question. I always feel like I'm improving, and I am a little perfectionist in my writing, so I'm always going to feel like recent stuff is better than older stuff, but I do have some old ones that I like. So my favorite induction is a almost 30-minute long confusion induction I made the other day called Shifting Confusion, and I'm going to be releasing that over the next little while, and I like it because it does a bit of what I talked about before. It does a bit of moving from one induction to another, fractionation, nested deepeners, and it's very dominant. People were telling me for a long time I need to get more dominant with my themes and with my files, because I was at first, and then I got shy about it and I backed off, and now I've gotten back into doing the same kind of files for the site that I would do with my personal friends and subjects. So what's my favorite deepener? Well, my favorite recent deepener is one I'm going to be releasing today. I actually I was consulted on a script file by a friend of mine, and I helped her to improve parts of it. And I took it, and then I improved it a little more myself. And so now I have it here, and with her permission, I'm going to be recording a cover. It's called Labyrinth. It is a 40-minute long deepener. You can tell I love long deepeners. I'm going to be posting that on the site pretty soon. As my favorite main body files, God, I really, really enjoy everything in the Submissive Pet Lesson Set. I feel like the Submissive Pet Lesson Set undoes a little bit of harmful societal programming, at least it has for some friends of mine, where people think that being submissive is weak or bad. And, you know, I talk about how submissives are good listeners, how submitting to someone means learning about them, how you should be proud of your collar, all sorts of pet stuff like that. And I was really proud of that entire series. It is a series, and I'm going to be putting on its own page, a lessons page and stuff. But there's just a lot of work to do on the catalog and the site. Okay, so last question before I get back to the topic of tease and denial. Finally, which one of your files would you say is unlike, most dissimilar, or unique compared to the rest? And the answer to that is another recent file. I just did Fetish Cultist Princess in the Tower. And the reason why that is kind of unique and interesting to me is that I recorded the file normally, I got a fair way into it, and then I kind of stopped partway through and paused it and And that was at the point where the princess starts speaking all dominant and cutesy to their subject. And then I thought about a friend of mine, and I sat there, and I rattled off the same kind of dominant talk I would use with her. And then I did the same thing later in the file. So really, I was mixing a scripted portion of the file with a nested, dominant, ad-libbed live session. And so it was very different for that. But also, the file, despite being very long, has a 15-minute add-on for people to masturbate. So I've made a file that both those in chastity who can't masturbate and those who want to get off can enjoy, because the file doesn't have any actual getting off in it, really. It just has an encouragement to do so as a ritual of obedience to the goddess figure in the story. And, of course, I love story files because I also write erotica, and that's a thing I do that I really find soothing. So writing files like that where I script them and they're long and I try experimental stuff, it probably makes me feel very different than it does with other files. So the kind of thought process in my head when writing that file was likely very different than the thought process in my head when I write something like Shifting Confusion, which is a more traditional hypnotic track. So that's all the questions I got this week. A reminder, you can send them off to mail@esuccubus.com. So, let's talk about tease and denial. Well, think about someone who gets off every day. Someone who masturbates every day, maybe to help them go to sleep in the evenings, or maybe just when the arousal gets too much. The kind of person who looks at some porn once or twice a day, or maybe just looks at some things inside their head or listens to my files and gets very turned on. Maybe they don't necessarily orgasm every day, but they spend some time teasing themselves and then eventually they get off. Well, if that person's normal schedule were disrupted by the imposition of chastity, either through a device or an order, then they would naturally still have that urge, that scheduled response of wanting to get off. But now, whenever it came time for them to masturbate or think sexy thoughts, they'd find themselves off limits. Naturally, your arousal would increase, the urge to touch yourself would remain, and the denial of it may be unpleasant for some. But as days go by, and you once more arrive at the place in your schedule where you're supposed to stimulate, you might think it would get easier. Easier to refrain from touching. But in fact, you're going to slowly find that you want to touch more rather than less, that you're dripping and aching constantly, that maybe you're rubbing up against things in private moments to try and get some stimulus before realizing that that might be cheating. Not to mention that when you do finally climax, it'll be so long awaited you'll want to make it good. Maybe you'll touch yourself in unique and interesting ways. Maybe you'll get so into a fantasy you lose yourself in it. That kind of hazy-minded state where someone is so lost in arousal that their face looks blissed out and they feel disjointed and vacant except for the need to come. Well, that's something that's popularized in a lot of the comics I read and a lot of the games I play and stories I enjoy. And so, I enjoy chastity, denial, edging. Edging's another thing. If you touch yourself almost to the point of coming, well, everyone has a point of no return, a point beyond which it is either impossible or very difficult to cease stimulation of their body. Their orgasm is just so close that their brain's sexual response is taking control of them. It's the closest a person will typically have come to being deeply, deeply hypnotized. The point where stopping the pleasure is so difficult that you just want to continue, because it would feel so good to just keep going. The point where stopping's impossible because your body's already made up its mind. And that's how you get a ruined orgasm. You stop after the point of no return, and the ceasing of stimulation reduces the sensation into almost nothing. And edging is coming as close as you can get, and then stopping. But the thing is, if you edge yourself and you stop, some of the arousal stays in your system. And if I were to want someone to undergo edging and denial for me, I would have them edge in the morning. And then, depending on their schedule, I'd have them edge on their breaks in private at work, or I'd have them edge every hour otherwise. And I would ask them to notice that they're coming closer and closer to climax, that they're getting closer and closer each time, and it takes fewer touches, fewer strokes, fewer caresses to bring them right up to the door of orgasm. And so they keep stopping, until eventually they can touch for maybe 2 seconds, and then they need to stop again. And if I were really cruel, I might make them listen to little sexy messages designed to make them glisten and ache, to make them turned on until they can't think. And that's it. Your brain will be occupied more and more by the demands from between your legs. I mean, we use the idea of a horny teenager, but really, our libidos are often subdued by day-to-day requirements, subdued by not being able to be as loud as we'd like. And so, when you're put more in touch with your body, you become more honest about your needs, your aches. And if you have a fetish for latex, or mind-controlling parasites, or simplistic, methodological, trancing deepness that flows through you, or for finger snaps, exposing yourself deliberately to the object of your fetish over and over again will make you more and more turned on. And if you get really turned on and yet you're not able to touch, you'll just have to sit there, aching through it, wanting it, needing it, and then when someone does finally give you permission, perhaps because you've earned it, to come, if they're controlling your orgasms, you're going to feel that sense of gratitude, of mounting pleasure, of thank you, yes, flowing through your head. And that's a powerful submissive conditioning in and of itself. So that's why I like Tease and Denial. Now, upcoming Tease and Denial pieces. I'm working on a piece centered around the idea of time dilation, of laying there and feeling one small caress across your body, and then they go away. Later they return, and it's two, and you feel yourself getting closer and closer, and then it's three, closer and closer and closer. But every time, you're allowed a longer and longer time for the pleasure in your body to die away, leaving you wanting, but unable to quite tip over the edge. And that's the theme. That long, slow process. It's actually a sequel to some pieces I've done before. It's a fantasy piece. Abduction 3. It's going to be fun. I'm adding on to the existing dominant abduction, caging, and training process. Making something I think people will like. A slightly dark and dominant little piece. Of course, all consensual non-consent, I only do that, but sometimes it's fun to have that little ravishment fantasy, even if we note in the file that our protagonist has signed up for it. It's still something that goes into that intense territory of slow denial. So, that's what's in the works. Now, other content that's going to be coming out this week. I figured I'd let everybody know. Today, I'll be releasing that Labyrinth file. I'm making a cover, and I think people will really use it as a good deepener. Like, if you want to try it with something like Brain Drain, I guess you could get as deep as it's possible to get. And that would be pretty fun. That's my kind of thing, too. And I'm also going to be tinkering at a few pieces of COC content. Well, I told everybody I'm going to be trying to do the entire COC lake over the course of this summer. I consider the summer to end at the end of August. I think most people do. And so I'll be kind of trailing them out over the course of time so that people can see at least one file from the lake for each creature, each domain coming out. And once they're out, it'll be easy for me to add one or two more, because I will have established a baseline. Oh, and speaking of Tease and Denial, people who enjoy Corruption of Champions will remember there's a cute part otter girl who hangs out at the lake, a woman named Kalu, who, well, you walk up to her and she'll stimulate your body or have you stimulate hers while she fishes, having the person remain very silent and still throughout. And you might wonder, how does she ride someone's penis or grind against someone's pussy? And the answer is that she can control her internal muscles very well. And when I do that file, I think I'm going to make it a Tease and Denial piece this time, a long time-lapse fishing with someone being slowly worked by her, commanded to stay still, perhaps frozen in place, or promised some reward if they really hold still. I think I'm going to do that kind of thing, because, well, I want to work in new themes that weren't necessarily there at first. So, today's the 27th. I'm going to be posting the Labyrinth cover today, and I'll link to my friend. And then I'm going to be doing a story. What Sings the Steel to Sleep, Chapter 1, will be out on Wednesday. I'll be doing a quicksand-themed deepener someone asked for as a custom file as well. And when I do that, it'll just kind of be a deepener, maybe some sexy themes, maybe some confidence themes in a later file around that same time period. Now, I'm also going to be releasing on the 1st of July, Canada Day, a live session chronicle, an anal-centric fantasy. And I'll be releasing that deepener in induction I mentioned, Shifting Confusion, on July 1st. I'll be releasing a masturbatory file about stripping away some of the kind of resistance and defenses we have to really feeling masturbation. And that's called Special Touch, and I'll be putting that out on the 4th. And I'll also be doing a podcast about the concept of tests of trance, the kind of thing you see from stage shows, stage magicians, people getting their hands stuck together, or the whole stiff as a board thing. I'll be talking about that kind of stuff and my interest in it and my take on it in the coming podcast. I hope everyone has a great week, and I will keep on doing these every Monday, so do check back. The Patreon has been doing amazing. I'm thrilled. And I think that when I get it to the point where I can start making text-based games, I'm going to try to find a way to have my audio as a kind of background soundtrack and do a few sexy games about realistic situations I've had with BDSM hypno subjects in the past and such. I actually do have more people to practice on than I've had before, so thank you to everyone who's come out of the woodwork for that. I really do appreciate it, especially good feedback and sexy conversations about trancing out, about teasing, and about what everybody likes. The more diverse an experience I have of doing these kind of trances, the more I'll remember. So again, if you have ideas, if you have questions, go ahead and send me an email at mail@esuccubus.com. I have kind of been regaining my old dominant instincts that were used in the earlier files with the help of people supporting me here, so do keep it up. If you have an idea for a file you'd like, you can always contact me. If you have an idea for a file you need, you can always pledge at the appropriate custom file level at patreon@esuccubus.com. The site is entirely supported through Patreon, so do consider pledging if you want. There are plenty of nice rewards on there. And even if you don't, check out that site now and then, because patreon.com/esuccubus has kind of a post for every new file and new podcast. So it's a good way to keep up with what I'm putting out. Although the main page is too, I also tend to track upcoming plans more closely on the Patreon. Take care of yourselves, and thanks, everyone.